Following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk that was given on the Shabbos, in which the Torah portion of Shoftim was read, the 7th of Elul of the year Hei Tinase, that corresponds to the year 1991. In this talk, the Rebbe contrasts the language used in the Torah portion of Shoftim, in which it says, "You shall appoint judges, v'shoitrim, and officers in all of your gates, in all of your cities." However, when the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, predicts the future, the days of Mashiach, he says, "And I will restore your judges as at first, and your counselors or advisors as in the beginning." And the difference is that in the Parsha that we read, it talks about judges and officers, whereas in that future prediction, it talks about judges and counselors. It leaves out Shaitrim, officers. So the Rebbe explains, what does it mean when the Torah says officers? Rashi explains that the difference between judges and officers is that judges are the ones who issue the rulings of law. They tell you what the law is, what the verdict is, whereas the officers are the ones who enforce their decision, sometimes having to use actually physical force, corporal punishment. In the future, when it talks about how we will have judges in the future, there's no need for officers, but instead we will have counselors. Because in the future, evil will cease to exist. Why would we need officers to compel the people to accept the commands, the verdict, the decree of the judges? We'll all be on a very high spiritual level, and without any coercion, without any external compulsion, we will fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. We'll still have to have judges, because they're the ones who will instruct us as to what Hashem wants of us. And we will go from one level to another in holiness, so that means we'll always be going and growing at the direction of the judges. Now this explanation, that the function of the officers is just to ensure that people will actually carry out the rulings of the judges, but there's no intrinsic value to having officers. That's why when people will follow the instructions of the judges without the officers, there will be no need for them. And that's why, the Rebbe says, the name of the parsha that we just read, that we're reading on Shoftim, that we just mentioned, is Shoftim, not Shoftim v'Shoitrim, judges and officers. And the name of the parsha is actually the theme of the parsha. And yet, it leaves out the word Shaitra, even though that's an integral part of the judicial system. So why isn't that included as the name of the parsha? So the answer is, because you don't really need officers for the sake of officers. The only reason you need them is to have the rulings of the judges carried out in actuality. And if you don't need the officers to do it, then there's no use for those officers. That's why there's no separate mitzvah. In the count of 613, there's a mitzvah to appoint judges. There's no separate mitzvah to appoint officers, because the appointment of officers is only an extension of the appointment of judges whenever necessary. However, since all matters of Torah are eternal, even things that are not even commandments, so the Rebbe says that one could say that in the future there will be officers, but their function will be a positive one, to help the Jewish people to fulfill the things that they are commanded to do by the courts, but not to coerce them and to compel them. And now we can understand why in the future prediction it says Yeyatzayich, your counselors, which is not mentioned in the Parsha of Shoftim, in the Torah reading. Because in order to reach the ultimate perfection of the service of a person, in which case there's no need for an officer, you need both things. You need judges, but you also need counselors. Because the judges and the counselors express two different modes of serving Hashem that are both necessary, and one complements the other. The Rebbe explains, the difference between a judge and an advisor, a counselor, is a judge gives the ruling. He just says, this is the way it is, and it's etched in stone. And there's no regard for the person who is being judged. That's not the judge's role. His role is to issue the commands, to issue the directives. His interest is not as to whether the person understands the ruling, whether he accepts the ruling. An advisor, in contrast, his idea, his function, is to give advice to the person as a friend, someone who will help the person, acclimate the person to this ruling, and explain to him that it's good for him, that it's for his benefit. Now, going deeper into this, the Rebbe says, the advantage of the judge is that he stands above, incomparably higher than the one who is being judged. And when he commands him to do something, he is giving him, in truth, not just an order, but deep down he's giving him the power, the empowerment to fulfill his instruction. This is a very sublime empowerment that cannot happen by an advisor, because the advisor stands together on the same level, as it were, with the person whom he advises. He's someone who empathizes with the one who's advised, so he has to be on his level. But on the other hand, there's a great advantage to the advisor, to the counselor, because since he is on that level, so his advice really penetrates, quite differently from the judge, who will get the person to do as he commands, but it's not something that he understands, that he appreciates, and that he could be emotionally involved in. Now, this is how we would characterize all this. The judge, in his world, all there is the judge. There's nothing else. The judge's role is giving orders. That's it. When you talk about the advisor, what is his focus? What exists in his world? The one who is receiving the advice. This could be compared to the difference between what the Zohar refers to as a Sarusa de Le'ela, an awakening or an arousal from above, and a Sarusa de Le'Sata, an awakening or arousal from below. One is from above, one is from below. More specifically, this is like the two different categories of assistance that comes from above. There's assistance that comes from a very high level, incomparably higher than a person, like the judge, and there's assistance from above that comes from a level that is related to the individual, that could penetrate and permeate and be internalized within the individual, which is analogous to the advisor or the counselor. Based on this, we can understand why it is that when it talks about judges, it says, Kavarishena, as at first, that God will restore the judges as it was at first, in the beginning. But it uses the word Rishena, first. Or when it talks about the advisors, it says, Kivatchila, as in the beginning. What is the difference? The word Rishena, which means first, that means that which comes before whatever it is that follows. Rishon, the Gemara says, means the preface, that which is there to introduce that which comes later. When you say the word Tchila, which is beginning, that refers to the actual beginning of the process. That's why the difference is, when it talks about advisors, they are considered to be Tchila. They are beginnings. What does that mean? That when you give advice, the very fact that you're giving advice, and this advice obviously is appropriate for the person who's being advised, you already started the process. You're into the process already. But when it talks about judges, they are Rishena, they are preliminary, they are prefatory, because even after he gives and issues his ruling, it still hasn't begun. The process hasn't begun because the person who has been judged has yet to accept it and implement it. Now we can understand several other differences between the verse in our parsha of Shaftim, which talks about the present day need for judges and officers. The Torah is talking about all periods, including the period of exile, the spiritual exile, when we still need to have someone who could impose his will on us, the officers. And we can understand the difference between that verse and the verse that talks about the time of redemption, when we won't need the officers, we'll only need the advisors. So the Rebbe explains, in addition to the advantage of an advisor, the advisors also have an effect that even the words of the judges that might be way above the level of the person who's being judged, way beyond his understanding, and the advisors are the ones who help him accept it in his mind, that they should accept it by accepting the advice. That's why it says, Sheftayich, your judges, Yayetzayich, your advisors. It uses the second person directly, unlike Sheftim, where it talks about Sheftim and Sheftim, judges and officers. It doesn't say your judges, your officers. This alludes to the fact that it becomes yours. When you give someone an advice, the person accepts the advice, and it becomes his own. He owns it. As a result, then the judges then become Sheftayich. That's the advantage of the advisors, that they have an effect on the judges, that the judges' ruling become internalized and accepted within the person who's being judged. So the advisors, because they make the advice yours, they also affect not just the person who's being judged, but the judges' rulings as well. And we can understand, based on this, that when you have both judges together with the advisors, things have reached a state of perfection. Because when the instructions are accepted, the instructions of the judges are accepted, and the judges, as we said before, represent a very high level of empowerment. But when it is actually is able to penetrate and permeate internally, then there's no potential for the person to ever go against the words of the judge. And once that happens, you don't need officers anymore to enforce it. How do we reach that state in the future? We have to prepare ourselves even today. So we should be capable of accepting the words of the judges of the future. And since we also know that everything that will happen in the future, in the days of Mashiach, the revelations that will happen then, it says in Tanya, hinge on, they depend on, Maseinu v'avadaseinu kolzman meshech hagolus, our deeds and our service throughout the entire duration of the exile. So in this talk, the Rebbe says there are two details, one deeper than the other, that we have to implement. First of all, in every generation, there are judges. They are the rabbis, the ones who give halachic legal decisions for the members of their generation. And we also have yayatzim, advisors. It could be that the judge himself is also an advisor. They give advice in our service of Hashem. And this is contained within the directive in the Ethics of the Fathers. It says, Asei lecha rav, that every person, every individual has to appoint a rav, a mentor for himself. That is more in the level of the advisor, the counselor. But more specifically, the Rebbe explains in this talk that this preparation for the future has come about through the prophecy that was introduced in these later generations. That even though prophecy was a phenomenon that we think of as something that had ceased in biblical times, nevertheless, the phenomenon of prophecy does still exist, the Rebbe demonstrates, and before Mashiach's revelation, prophecy becomes more pronounced, more prominent. And prophecy, the Rebbe says, has something in common with an advisor. Because what is a prophet? What does the prophet embody? That God's message enters into his mind and his comprehension. That means it's a divine revelation that relates to the people. And also what he prophesies about relates to the world. As it says, the prophet does not arise for any other purpose except to tell us the future things that will happen in this world. That means that prophecy is connected to this world, but it's an internalized message for this world, just like an advisor, that it's something that the person who is advised or the person who hears the prophecy can absorb. And this distinguishes prophecy from Torah, because Torah is a divine revelation that is infinitely higher than the world, like a judge, and prophecy is divine revelation that relates to the world. Now, prophecy we have throughout history, the fact that the Rambam, in his work, which is a book of law, talks about the laws and the criteria for prophecy. And amongst the criteria for prophecy, he doesn't mention that there's a fixed time when there's prophecy and any other time there's no prophecy. Even though the Gemara says that after the last prophet, Nistalka Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Divine Spirit had been removed, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist anymore. It means that it was somewhat withdrawn from this world, because in that period there was no one worthy of it. But when someone comes along worthy of prophecy, there can be prophecy even today. And moreover, the Rebbe says, in the Rambam's famous letter to Yemen, he writes that prophecy will return before the coming of Mashiach as a preparation for Mashiach. And following the directive of a prophet is mentioned in this week's portion, where it says, Elov Tishma'on, you must listen to him. And by doing so, that is the preparation in an internalized way, as opposed to the judge, who is external, who's above, who's aloof. This is the internal way to see the fulfillment, to prepare for the fulfillment of the prophecy, I will restore your judges and your advisors. The Rebbe comparing advisors, the prophets, to advisors. With this we can understand why the Rambam speaks at great length about the prophecy of Moshe. At first glance, what's the relevance? What happened, happened. Why do we have to know about Moses' level of prophecy? But by doing so, the Rambam is teaching you a law that can be in any time. There can be a prophet who's like Moshe, as it says in the Parsha, Navi mikerev achecha kamocha, I will appoint a prophet from amidst you, amongst you, like you. Like you meaning like Moshe. The fact that it says in the Torah no prophet has ever arisen like Moshe, that's only about the characteristic of Moses' prophecy, where he was able to speak to God face to face. That cannot be duplicated by any other prophet. But the level of prophecy itself, that is something that even another prophet could have. And that will be fulfilled, this prediction of prophecy returning before the coming of Mashiach, that Mashiach himself will have that prophecy as a preparation for redemption. Based on all this, we can understand that we are now the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise of I will restore your judges. And the reason for that, the Rebbe says, threefold. Number one, as we said before, the whole concept of officers is connected to the negative state of the Jewish people, that they are not able to do their mitzvahs, fulfill the will of the judges of their own volition, and they have to be coerced to do it. That comes because of the darkness of Golus, the spiritual aspect of exile. Today that we're finished with all of the service that we needed throughout all of history to bring us to the times of Mashiach, so that situation of darkness is much greatly diminished. It's not like it used to be. Number two, because of our Rebbes and our leaders, prophecy has restored to the Jewish people. And through them, they give us a taste and the beginning of the period of judges and advisors. Because number one, they are Rabbi Seinu, our Rebbes, our teachers. They teach Torah to the entire nation. Number two, they are Nisienu, our leaders. A leader, the word Nasi means someone who's exalted. They are infinitely higher than the nation. Both of these details is similar to the idea of Shevtayich, your judges, but they're also your advisors. They give advice in matters of Torah, matters of Yerushalayim, fear and awe of Hashem, and even in worldly matters, which is a function of prophets to advise people in worldly matters. So that's the second factor, that our Rebbes have the dual function of being our teachers and also our Nesiim, our exalted leaders. Number three, because the teachings of Chassidus Chabad was revealed, and the purpose and the function of Chassidus Chabad is that the Torah's teachings should be internalized within a person. We should understand the ideas of Torah. That parallels the idea of the advisors that we will have in the future. The Torah should permeate the person. And there's a special emphasis on Chassidus Chabad in this generation, that we have already reached the perfection or the peak of the dissemination of the fountains outward, because the teachings of Chassidus have been spread throughout the world. When we reflect on all of the above, and based on the announcement made by the the Rebbe refers to his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, that we already finished all matters of service. We already concluded all that we've had to accomplish. So right now we are in the period of I will restore your judges as in at first and your advisors as in the beginning. We already have that being fulfilled. And that also explains why recently we're talking about how the Geula is imminent, because now we don't have to create something new, introduce a new dynamic that doesn't yet exist. All matters of Geula have already commenced, and they have already become accepted and internalized within the physical world. The essential message from all of the above is as follows, the Rebbe says. We should publicize to all the members of the generation that God had chosen the prophet of the generation, and it is our responsibility to listen to his instructions. As it says in this parsha, and as the Rambam rules, that when someone has the qualities, the virtues, and the perfection that a prophet has to have, and he demonstrates wonders and miracles, we have to listen to him. And this is what happened with the leader of our generation. Moreover, the leader of our generation, we have seen the fulfillment, what it says in the Rambam, that a prophet, about whom another prophet had said that he's a prophet, then you have to believe in him immediately before he's even tested about his predictions, as the Rambam writes. And you're not allowed to second-guess him and be skeptical. So by accepting him as a prophet and fulfilling his instructions, the instructions of the Navi Derenu, the prophet of our generation, the judges and the advisors of our generation, that itself represents the beginning of the fulfillment of the prayer, restore our judges, so on and so forth. And just as there is a judge, an advisor, a general advisor, a counselor of the generation, the same is true about every person individually, the micro aspect of this. Everyone has a judge and an advisor. The judge is the seichel, the intellect. The advisors are amides, our emotions. And that is the seichel, the intellect, and the emotions of the godly soul. And yes, everyone has sha'arecha, has your gates. The gates are the limbs and organs of the person that are the gateways between yourself and your environment. And the instructions of the judge and the advisor, of the general judge and advisor of the generation, has to be introduced into the micro judge and advisor, the individual judge and advisor, so that all details of your life should be permeated with the instructions and the advice of the judge and counselor of the generation. And this is something that you have to not just keep for yourself, but you have to also affect and spread to all of the Jewish people and throughout the world into the most remote places. They should all be permeated with God as he revealed himself through the Navi, Benasi Hadar, through the prophet and the leader of the generation. And the Rebbe then says, he compares the leader of the generation to the Evan Shasia, the foundation stone of the temple. That's the stone in the Holy of Holies. On one hand, it's one stone that can be found in one place in the world. It's not all over the world. On the other hand, it comprises and consolidates all of the world in it, because the whole world was founded based on that stone, from that stone. And that's the same thing. It's an analogy to the leader of the generation. On one hand, it's just one central point, is one person. On the other hand, he comprises everything. As our sages say, Hanasi Hu Hakel. The Nasi, the leader, is essentially everyone. Now, this parallel between the Nasi Hadar, the leader of the generation, and the foundation stone can be expressed in yet another way. Just like the Eben Shasia, the foundation stone, from the time it was created, it is always there and it is revealed. As opposed to the ark, even though it's also eternal, but it's concealed. It was buried beneath the temple. But the Eben Shasia is there on the ground that everyone is possible to see. Same thing in every generation. The Nasi Hadar, the leader of the generation, is here and he's revealed. Now, synopsis of the synopsis. When it talks about the predictions of the Geula, of the redemption, it says, I will restore your judges as at first, and your advisors as in the beginning. The reason why we need judges and advisors can be understood based on the difference between them. Judges are empowerment that comes from on high. It's much higher than we are in terms of their inspiration, their power. So what's lacking is that it can't be internalized within us because it's way beyond us. It's aloof and distant. Advisors, on the other hand, give us the strength on a level that we could internalize, but it doesn't have the same loftiness as the level of the judge. So that's why when it talks about judges, it uses the term Rishayna, as at first. The word first, or Rishayna in Hebrew, in the Talmud, it explains that it refers to something that is preliminary. It's only the prefatory stage for something that will come later. Because after the judge issues his ruling, he only prepared the fulfillment of it, because then it has to go to the person who is being judged, and he has to execute it. When it talks about advisors who are on the level of the person, it says kibatchila, as in the beginning. The advisor, since he's related to the person, he's empathetic with the person, you could say that he already is part of the process, albeit the beginning of it. And since in the time of Geula, we will have both judges, the high level, and advisors, the level that is close to us, we won't need the officers who execute the rulings of the judges and enforce it by force. Then the Rebbe said, in order for the Jewish people to be redeemed in a way that we will have the receptivity to the judges and the advisors, we have to do our own part. And what is our own part? Number one, we have to accept upon ourselves to fulfill the teachings of the Torah that come from the judges, whether we understand it or not. Number two, that these instructions should become internalized within us through the advisors, the counselors. And we accomplish this by virtue of listening to the judges, who are the teachers, the rabbis, who give us the instructions of Jewish law, and also to the advisors, those people who counsel us in matters of Yiras Shemayim, and the fear of heaven, and in our service to God in general, and also to the prophets that exist in every generation. And the Rebbe continued, after going through so much, so many generations of Jews doing God's will, fulfilling mitzvahs, devoting ourselves to God, which is cumulative throughout all of history, and after our Rebbes and our leaders, who restored prophecy to the Jewish people, and gave us a taste in the beginning of the judges as at first, and the advisors as in the beginning, and after we had disseminated the teachings of Hasidus, the inner teachings of Hasidus, Hasidus Chabad, which has the power to internalize these concepts in our mind and in our heart, in our feelings, and we already tasted the beginning of the teachings of Torah that will be revealed in the future. So after all of this has been said, we could understand that we already have reached the time of the fulfillment of this prophecy. God says, I will restore your judges as at first and your advisors as in the beginning in the most perfect way. And all matters of Geula have already begun, and they have already become internalized in this physical world. Likewise, as a preparation for the completion of this revelation of prophecy after the redemption, we already have the revelation of prophecy in every generation, that it's possible that in any generation it can be a prophet like Moshe, in some respects, the Rebbe added before, especially after what the Rambam says, that prophecy will return before the Mashiach. So that is the prophecy that Mashiach himself has even before the redemption. All this is a preparation for the revelation of prophecy that will happen in the period of redemption. And since the deed is the essential thing, what is the practical lesson and message that the Rebbe wants us to do? He wants us to publicize to oneself and to all members of the generation that we merited, that God chose and selected a person who has free choice, he's endowed with free choice, that he's infinitely, incomparably higher than the members of the generation, and he gives instructions and advice with matters concerning the leadership of the Jewish people and of the whole generation, in matters of Torah, matters of mitzvahs, and likewise in mundane matters. And we have to listen to all of his instructions and all of his advice, and that then we have to translate that into our own individual structure, that all of our limbs and all details of our life have to be conducted on the basis of the teachings of the Torah, especially as they are clarified in the teachings of the leader of our generation, and that every man and woman has to conduct his home based on the teachings of the Torah and the advice of the Torah to ultimately affect the whole world in its most minute details, that they should all be permeated with God's presence as they are revealed in us through the Navi, the Nasi, the leader of the generation. I just want to read, in conclusion, an excerpt from the Besuras HaGeula, where it talks about the practical application of this sicha, of this talk. And furthermore, the Rebbe says, a prophet about whom another prophet testifies that he is a prophet is presumed to be a prophet, and the second one needs no examination. This applies to the leader of our generation and continues in the next generation through his disciples. One must immediately obey him even before he gives a sign. Similarly, it is forbidden to have doubts about him and question his prophecy, that maybe it isn't true, and it is forbidden to test him overmuch. That's a quote from the Rambam. As it says, do not test the Lord your God as you tested him at Massa, but since it is known that he is a prophet, believe in him and know that God is in your midst. Do not doubt or question him. All that is, the last part is a verse from the Parsha of Eschanan. One believes in the words of the prophet, not because it is the prophet's speech, but because it is God's speech through this prophet. The Rebbe then said, one may make known to all members of the generation that we have merited, that God has chosen a person endowed with free choice, who is incomparably higher than the members of his generation, that he has been appointed to be your judge, your counselor, and the prophet of the generation. This chosen leader will provide the instructions and advice relevant to the service of all Jews and all people of the generation in all matters of Torah and mitzvahs and daily conduct, in the manner of in all your ways know him, and all your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. And his counsel has extended to the essential prophecy of immediate redemption, and instantly, behold, he, Mashiach, comes. The acceptance of and adherence to the instructions of your judge and your counsel of our generation creates the sampling and beginning of the fulfillment of the prayer. Return our judges as of first, and our counselors as in the beginning.